Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway North Church based out of Winnipeg, Canada. Your Sunday sermon, any day of the week.
The novel Robinson Crusoe tells the story of an Englishman who was cast ashore on an uninhabited tropical island, alive but alone. With only the supplies he managed to salvage from the wrecked ship, he built a house and put together something of a life for himself. But despite the beautiful, idyllic location, Robinson was never truly happy. What we would have called heavenly, he called horrible. And it wasn't the climate, and it wasn't the food, and it wasn't the scenery that ruined things. It was the solitude. His new abode got to him, not because it was inhospitable, but because it was empty. He was alone in paradise. Now that was the pain of the pandemic. COVID-19 was not just infectious, it was also isolating. It kept us apart, and it ruined people's mental health because it deprived them of that basic human need of physical contact, a hug, or even a simple handshake. Now, both those things underscore that every human being on the planet has a basic need. And that basic need is the need for community and close relationships. We've heard that time after time this morning, just underscoring not just the word, but the concept, the need for community. We are all wired to be together. And when that's denied, we don't do well. That's why, by the way, in 2019, Correction Services Canada abolished solitary confinement, dubbing it as a cruel and unusual punishment because it deprived prisoners, people, of that basic need of company. When God made the universe, he declared it good, and he declared man's creation very good. But there was one part of the cosmos that was not good, and that was Adam being alone. Now that paved the way for Eve to be brought to him and history's first wedding. However, it does point us to a wider application that all of us need relationships. Whether we are men or women, whether we are young or old, whether we are married or single, we are wired for relationships. We are created for community. Why don't we say that together? We are created for community. Now, the Scottish Highlanders understood this. And before their way of life was abolished over 250 years ago, if you were to ask a Highlander where they came from, they would never answer, well, from Dundee or from Inverness or from Arran. Rather, they would say, I live with the McDonald's or the Campbells or the Stuarts. They never answered geographically. They always answered relationally because they knew they were created for community. The military knows this too. That's why the most important group in an army, it's not the regiment that consists of thousands, and it's not the battalion, which is hundreds strong, and it's not the platoon, which has dozens of people in it. It's the squad, which consists of between 6 and 12 combatants. It's in this small group that relationships gel. So a soldier won't risk life or limb for the commander or the captain or the regiment or even for the king. But they'll rise to heroic heights for Jim or Katie or Sam or Sally, friends to whom their hearts have been joined, because we were created for community. The early church knew this too. In Acts 1, verse 15, we learn there that they were just 120 strong. But forward 20 chapters to Acts 21, and there one translation says their numbers had burgeoned to many tens of thousands. Now, without purpose-constructed buildings, where did they put everybody? And how come everybody was so well known that Luke writes of the members of the early church that there was no needy person among them? The answer, small groups, life groups, community. Acts 2 says they used to meet in their homes. Acts 5 says they taught from house to house. And throughout the letters, Paul greets several people and the church in their house. So the crowd, this, is an aspect of church, but it's not the most important aspect. That happens in cells or small groups, what we call life groups. The big gathering, that's for celebration. But the small gathering, that's for connection. And so our purpose this morning and also next week is to focus on life groups. And it's to make an invitation for us all, not just to be part of the crowd that meet on Capitalist Drive, but to be part of the family of Gateway North and to join a life group. The title of my message is Created for Community. And my text is taken from Romans chapter 12. So if you'd like to turn there, while you're turning there, put your finger in it and then turn to the Old Testament to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. First, Romans chapter 12. Verse 5 says this, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Why don't we say that last bit together? Each of us needs all the others. Let's say it again like we mean it. Each of us needs all the others. Hundreds of years before Paul wrote that, Solomon wrote down his take on each of us needs all the others. And that's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let me read it to you beginning at verse 9. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the others can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. What a great passage that is. What wisdom is there? In fact, Solomon gives us three reasons here why each of us needs the other. And that's, I want to knit together these two texts, one from the New and one from the Old Testament. I want to give you three reasons why we are created for community. And just to try and make it memorable, I've had them all begin with the letter S. In verse 9, Solomon says this, two people are far better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. First point, first S. Each of us needs all the others to provide security. You know, very soon the Canada geese will be returning. Those birds weigh just 7 pounds each, and yet they fly upwards of 4,000 miles in their migration, from places as far north as Alaska to destinations as far south as Mexico. But do you know how they do it? They do it together. These birds help each other succeed. First, the lead goose breaks the airflow, and that reduces drag and resistance on the rest of the flock. And then, because of the famous V formation, that takes advantage of uplift, so the geese behind don't have to put as much energy into flying, and that increases their range by 70%. Alone, they could never do it. But they find security in community. And together, they successfully achieve an otherwise impossible journey. At a small groups conference recently, a preacher told the story of a church that looked as though it was thriving. They had 500 people on a Sunday morning. Many outreach ministries had been mobilized. Lots of people were coming to Christ, and yet they didn't grow, because as soon as new people joined, other people left, most of them never darkening the doors of a church again. So, realizing something had to be done, the pastor invited the last 12 people to be baptized to his home for supper. And after they enjoyed a meal together, they sat down to talk. And the pastor said, "Would you like me to tell you the future?" "Well, yes, of course, absolutely," they all said. This is what he said. I'm going to read it to you. "Statistically speaking, in the next 2 to 3 years, two of your marriages will fail, and the shame will cause you to leave the church. Three of you will have a conflict with someone. You'll become offended and you'll withdraw. One will have a tragedy, lose faith, and fall away. Two will have a moral failing and drop out. Two will just lose interest and drift off. Within only a few years, just two of you will be attending any church, and only one of them will be attending this church." Well, there was deadly silence. Then one guy spoke up and said, "Well, what can we do to change those statistics?" "Here's what you can do," said the pastor. "You can commit to meet together every week in a small group and decide you're not going to let anybody try and go it alone, come hell or high water." And that's exactly what they did. Those strangers formed a life group. They became friends. They opened their lives to one another, and they opened their hearts to one another. When storms blew in or tragedies hit, when a marriage went through a crisis, when conflicts arose, when failings happened, they were there for one another fiercely, encouraging, confronting, praying, helping, loving, and accepting. 4 years later, there was only one casualty. And the church went on from losing most of its new members to keeping them. And the secret was community, where commitment and connection could happen. And so I want to ask us this morning, do you have people in your life like that? Do you have people who love you too much to let you go it alone? People who will give you a call if they miss seeing you for a few weeks. People who won't be silent when they see you going down a wrong path. People who care too much to just stand by and watch a marriage come unraveled. Each of us needs all the others to provide security. Now let's move on to our second S. And this is in Ecclesiastes 4:12. That says a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Each of us needs all the others to provide safety. Security, safety. Great example of this I heard some years ago was of a businessman who was sent by his firm to another city on a trip. But the boss refused to fly him and his secretary there in order to save a few bucks, and insisted that they drive instead. Now, right from the start, the secretary was very chatty. And then she became friendly. And she moved across the front bench seat, ever closer to her boss. And eventually, she reached out her hand and put it on his knee. Now, it was clear what her intention was in the trip. So just down the road, there was a gas station. The guy pulled in. He went to the phone booth outside the station. He was on there just a few minutes. Came back, sat in the car, set off. And she said, who were you calling? Was that the office? Did we forget something? And he said, no, it wasn't the office. I was actually calling my church small group leader and asking him to pray for me. I told him I was driving in a car with a woman who was trying to seduce me. When she heard that, she took off to the other side of the bench seat. She hugged that passenger door all the journey. Moral failing avoided. Marriage saved. Satan's scheme thwarted. Why? Because this guy was part of a community. He had a life group. Without it, he may not have had a trusted friend with whom he could share his temptation. We are safer in community. A couple of weeks back, I mentioned that Zambian proverb, run alone and you can run fast. Run together and you can run far. We are safer together. That's why some sporting activities insist on companions. Scuba diving is one, and mountain climbing is another. As the 2010 movie, 127 Hours, demonstrates, this movie tells the story of a guy called Aaron Ralston, who in April 2003 was climbing on his own in the Blue John Canyon in Utah. He managed to dislodge a massive stone, and as it fell, it pinned his right arm to the canyon wall. And try as he may, he couldn't shift it. He could neither dislodge the stone nor pull his arm to safety. He was like that for 5 days. Eventually, he realized he never would move the stone. And quite probably nobody else is going to chance by and rescue him. And that forced him into a very drastic step. because taking his own pocket knife, he amputated his own limb. Miraculously, he survived. But Aaron's story highlights the near-fatal mistake of choosing to be alone. We are better together. We are wired for relationships. We are created for community. Each of us needs all the others. Two are better off than one. When the Holy Spirit inspired the New Testament writers to write the letters and write the Gospels, those men chose both plural and relational pictures to represent the church. The Bible knows nothing of a Jesus and me faith. Now, true, we have to come to Christ on our own. By the way, if there's anybody here and you're relying on your parents' faith or your grandparents' faith or anybody listening at home, the gospel tells us that each of us make our own decision to come to Jesus. We can't come into the kingdom of God on somebody else's coattails. So individually, we have to repent and come to faith in Christ. But once we have done that, God puts us into community. So Luke says of the early church, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Did you spot that? Saved and added. Individually saved and then brought into community. Even Jesus had a small group. The disciples, 12 of them. And Mark says he appointed them that they might be with him. He appointed them so he could create community. So don't try and exist in isolation. Don't attempt to go it alone. It's safer in a life group. We are created for community. Why don't we say that together? We are created for community. So what have we learned so far? Each of us needs all the others to provide security. Together we can help each other succeed, Solomon says. Each of us needs all the others to provide safety. For two can stand back to back and conquer, Solomon says. Now look at Ecclesiastes 4 one last time. Look now at the verse between those verses, verse 11. It says, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Each of us need all the others to provide support. Security, safety, support. When Lee Iacocca was fired as president of the Ford Motor Company, he went on to turn Chrysler around. He said that the biggest surprise of his life wasn't being fired, but what happened afterwards, which was nothing. He said, I was hurting pretty bad. I could have used a phone call from someone to say, let's have a coffee. But most of my friends deserted me. It was the greatest shock of my life. You know, in a world that's really a global village, in cities that teem with people, and with all our in-touch technology, it's ironic that isolation and loneliness are endemic. The most vulnerable age, between 16 and 24. Research also indicates that the number of people living alone has increased greatly, tripled in fact, since 1960. A recent Gallup poll found that one in five Canadians are lonely. In the States, it's one in three. And the UK's problem, that's so bad that in 2018, the then Prime Minister, Theresa May, created a new government post, an official minister of loneliness. In 2021, Japan did the same. They knew that we were created for community, that each of us needs all the others. That's something that's really been hardwired into the animal kingdom. Some years ago, Val and I watched a documentary, The March of the Penguins. You may have seen it. It featured Antarctica, one of the most inhospitable places on the planet. Temperatures there plunge to minus 70 when it's very bad. And yet the emperor penguins thrive there. And do you know how they do it? They do it together. They all club together, just standing there. In fact, I'm watching this documentary. From time to time, one penguin would pop their head out, and the commentator said, it gets so hot in there, they've got to pop their head out. I mean, it's 70 below. They've got to pop their head out to cool off. They make it in community. On the opposite end of the spectrum, in the tropics, the rains that form the South Amazon monsoon should drown those colonies of red fire ants that live on the forest floors. And yet, when the flood water rises, the red fire ants do something absolutely amazing. They all club together. In fact, there are special hairs on their legs that are designed to interlock so that connection is really close, and they become a living ball. And then the flood water takes them to another destination, and when it goes down, they've been relocated and their intact colony reestablishes itself. They know we were created for community. The Bible makes it so clear. Nobody need be a bone on their own. 99 times in the New Testament, the word together appears. And the Holy Spirit has peppered the Gospels and the letters with the 59 one another verses. Commands like love one another, pray for one another, don't judge one another, bear with one another, carry one another's burdens, forgive one another, encourage one another, comfort one another. It's all about community. You can't do that without knowing somebody, and you can't know somebody in a crowd, in a big gathering, in a large gathering. It's in a life group. As I bring this into land, let me just mention how powerful this one anothering is. When we lived in the UK, our senior pastor, you know him, Steve Thomas, he lost his young wife in very tragic circumstances. And the evening that happened, those guys that worked most closely with him went to his home to just sit with him. In fact, I can see him in my mind's eye now. Steve was always a pretty together guy, a strong leader. But this night, he was completely undone. And I can see him now, his shoulders shaking with grief as wave after wave of realization hit him that she'd gone. And it was so final. And he had three children, young children, and now it was up to him to try and bring them up on his own. Now, all of us guys were always ready to joke and pull one another's leg and banter. But on this occasion, that was inappropriate. All we could do was sit in silent support. And you know what? That's all Steve needed. Somebody just to help him cry. Somebody to cry with him. Somebody just to be there. See, Job's comforters, they were great at the beginning of the book when they sat in silent support. But they became a royal pain when they tried to fix him. Our aim together is to make an invitation to all of us to get connected. Not just to relate in the large gathering, that's for celebration, but to connect in the small gathering, in community. Let's just look at our scriptures again. Let's just put them on the screen. Since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Why? Because two people are far better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in big trouble. We need security of community. Likewise, two people lying together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? We need the support of community. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. We need each other for safety.
Thank you for tuning in to the Gateway North podcast. We hope you've been challenged and inspired from God's word. To find out more about Gateway Church, head to gatewaywinnipeg.com.